Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put the coaching carousel aside for a second. We got games this weekend. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray and Drew Perloff. We'll get back to our great debate in a moment. We know we got Dion to the Cowboys. That has not died down at all. Cowboys are looking for a new head coach. But Perloff, let's talk about the divisional round games because we got some doozies this weekend. And if I asked you, of all the teams remaining, the 8 teams remaining, who has the best offense straight up? Who is your answer?
Okay, this is a hard question because there's 2 elite offenses. Like, big time. But I'm going Detroit Lions. And the reason I say that is because they can beat you in 25 different ways. They can beat you with the run game. They can beat you with a short passing game. They can hit long shots. And if you get into a shootout, to me, the Lions are the scariest team. They obviously have the ingredients. Great offensive line. A quarterback who's, when he's on, Jared Goff, is as good as anybody. When he hits that sort of Jared Goff mode, just like... I love Ben Johnson being able to call plays with so many different options. To me, they are the juggernaut offensively. Who do you got?
Okay, but here's the thing. With that offense, yes, they can be a wagon at times. Absolutely,
yes.
Right? No doubt. And David Montgomery is healthy now, and he's going to play, so you get the two-headed monster back of him and Jahmyr Gibbs, all of that. But you have to wonder sometimes, A, in a big game, Jared Goff, 2, the Dan Campbell going for it. You were convinced at one point this season that that was the best thing that the Philadelphia Eagles, their potential opponent, had going for them was Dan Campbell's recklessness. Do you, at fourth down decisions, which I actually like, but I can understand why other people have problems with, do you not see that as a liability
definitely.
As much?
Okay. Oh, I definitely think that's a liability. I also think, you know, there's going to be a dumb personal foul that's going to define one of these games. And I'm looking at Jameson Williams. I'm looking directly at him. I think that personal fouls were a big deal this weekend. The refs are throwing that flag right now. The refs want a lot of attention. And I think they're going to call a personal foul in that game. And I think the Lions are more likely to lose their cool. But it's close because the Eagles have some hotheads as well, if that game ever came down to it. But as far as the fourth down... I think that speaks also to their offense, the fact that they have so many ways to get a 4th-and-3.
That's
and
true.
Listen, that's a big deal. Like, whoever can convert those 4th-and-3s is going to probably win this whole thing. I like where they're at, but I kind of have an idea where you might go.
Yeah, I think if you're asking me of the divisional round, who has the best offense, we're just talking about the best offense, it's got to be the Ravens. Because here's the thing, in the playoffs... What does it really come down to? I know Lamar Jackson has not played his best, especially last year in the AFC Championship game. But ultimately, what does this really come down to? To me, your quarterback is going to have to do something to win you something. And right now, I think that Lamar Jackson is, you know, he and Josh Allen 1-1. You know, listen, Patrick Mahomes gets the Lifetime Achievement Award on this one, even though their offense is not nearly as scary as it used to be. But I think you have to go with the Ravens because, first of all, you have the rushing attack between Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. So you're controlling the game. That's it. You have a good enough offensive line, clearly, if you're able to run the ball this well. And then with Zay Flowers back this week, you have 2 great pass-catching tight ends in Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. And I know people don't like to give Rashad Bateman any kind of credit, but I think he actually deserves quite a bit. So I think top to bottom, best offense in the playoffs left, are the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, okay. With what? What if Zay Flowers isn't there? You still say that?
Listen, I don't know, but he is going to be there. It looks like he is. John Harbaugh saying, cagey about it, but saying, oh, we'll see, but they're not ruling him out.
I mean, listen, it's probably a 1A and a 1B situation, but that being said, I'm not sure that they have a quarterback advantage in this round. But you did say quarterback Lamar Jackson compared to Jared Goff. I mean, do they even have the quarterback advantage in the divisional round of the playoffs? So how can you call him best offense if he might be the third best quarterback in that conference? You could argue that.
Yeah, but I think with Derrick Henry, you have besides Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley? I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, you're talking about three of the best weapons that exist. Now, here's the funny thing about the Ravens passing attack. Do you guys know this? They are 31st in pass attempts, but they're 7th in yards.
So, well, that's because 9 guys are standing right next to the line of scrimmage praying to tackle Derrick Henry.
I know, but I'm just saying. And they're 2nd in passing TDs. So, they have this very efficient offense as well.
Right, because they run, set you up for the shot. And what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to put your safeties back and hope that Derrick Henry's going to be nice to you? It's an impossible. The run game and the – and also, Lamar's deep arm is fantastic. I mean, he is pinpoint down the field. So it's a terrible combination to try and stop the Ravens. But that being said, I don't want to give away my pick. It's going to be awfully cold in Buffalo this weekend. I do not see that offense hitting on all cylinders.
The Ravens offense?
Oh,
they play in the cold weather. It's not the Dolphins.
That? Everyone says that. You honestly think that it's going to be really cold?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see about how does the Bills offense do when it's really cold.
I mean, the Bills offense is less explosive than the Ravens. I think they're more suited for this kind of game. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm picking your Bills. I'm sorry. You're probably mad at me. You're probably thinking I'm going to mush them.
You've done this 3 years in a row, and it hasn't worked out. You always pick the Bills in a big game.
But it's home. When are you going to? You're at home, Maggie. Tell me how you're not going to win at home.
Well,
it's
listen,
Buffalo.
I'm hoping they do win at home. But here's the thing. You're talking about the weather, and it's going to be really cold in Buffalo. You want to tackle Derrick Henry and tackle Derrick Henry now when it's like 20 degrees?
That's a problem.
He's already rock solid. It's like trying to tackle a brick wall. Okay.
I just think that, Josh Allen played at Wyoming. I know he's from California. And Lamar Jackson is Florida through and through. And I know he has some good games. I get it yelled at on Twitter all the time about this. I know he has some good games in the cold, but I guarantee the passing is going to go down. It's just nature. That ball is going to be hard as a rock. That's the thing. Like, you say the Ravens are the best offense. Are they really that much better than the Bills?
The high in Buffalo on Sunday, 19 degrees. The high.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of college.
Honestly, it's better that they're playing this game on Sunday. Monday, the high's only 12.
And it's at 6:30 at night. The sun is down.
Tuesday, the high's only 10. But the low's only 7.
I miss it.
So not a lot of variance there. Just cold as hell all day.
I'm taking Detroit. I feel better about Detroit as the best offense because they're the number one seed. They're not going outside again. So, therefore, they are the best offense left. All right. We're going to do defense?
Yeah, let's do defense. Of all the 8 divisional round, the teams left in the division round, 8 teams, can I talk? Who's got the best defense?
Okay. I hope my dad is not listening because I am not picking the number one ranked Philadelphia Eagles defense. I am picking the Kansas City Chiefs as the best defense. Hmm. And a lot of it has to do with last year. You saw when it comes down to it in the playoffs, Steve Spagnuolo steps it up, their defensive coordinator, and absolutely shut down Lamar Jackson in the AFC title game. I think when they're in a big game, right now, the way the Chiefs are built, their defense is going to step up and maybe be the story of the offseason, just like they were last year.
Well, I mean, this is the formula. I can't say that I disagree with you, but this is the formula, It's all about Mahomes and Kelsey until it's not. And then all of a sudden it's about Chris Jones and Steve Spagnuolo. And it's about,
Carol
Loftus. Trent
McDuffie is fantastic. Yeah. I think now they have Bolton and Tranquil healthy. Those guys are great against the run. I think that there's going to be it's going to be a strategy matchup in the AFC title game if the Chiefs get there. And I just like the way that they approach this. I think they're going to shut down somebody. And Chris Jones could come out as like the Super Bowl MVP because Mahomes isn't doing anything this year. His numbers are so pedestrian. I just think this is going to be a Kansas City defense postseason.
Man, if you're asking me to pick the best defense left in the divisional round, I mean, I'll say hi to Mr. Perloff. It is your Philadelphia Eagles, and you got to hope they play like amazing. And I think they're going to, and I think Stafford's going to really have his hands full. He, you know, looked great against the Vikings. Nothing that Brian Flores was able to do confused Stafford at all. He was awesome against the blitz, all of that stuff. I just think the Eagles, this can't be a fluke. This is, you know, number one in yards, number two in points allowed. You know, this is a top five unit in terms of turnovers, in terms of, you know, opponent first down. And here's the other thing. You know, the offense for the Eagles sometimes takes a minute to get started. They got gifted that turnover at the beginning of the Packer game, which should totally have been overturned. That should not have been Eagles ball.
Sacrilege.
There.
I disagree, but go ahead.
But anyway, the defense, I think, is what really can help out if the Eagles have another slow start.
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons the defense numbers are so good, because the offense has been playing keep away with Saquon Barkley. That run game defines their defense. Like, and maybe that is, so the defense is always fresh, but if they can't establish Barkley and Hurts running the football, then that defense will be tested. I think it is a fluke. I do not think they are that good. I really do not. And for example, they played the Steelers, remember? That defense didn't see the field the entire game. Like, they'll just keep getting first down. I think that they're going to be tested in a brand new way. Maybe not by the Rams, but by the Lions for sure. So you ask, will that hold up? Do you really think it's going to hold up against that Lions offense?
No, you got to hope that go on these super long drives. And, you know, because the Lions are a quick strike offense. Like, they can make up so much ground in such a short amount of time. So you just got to play keep away.
You know, the Eagles defense did destroy Matthew Stafford earlier in the season.
Yep.
You know, the one guy who gave him a hard time, Jaden Daniels, in their most recent game, ran a lot. So maybe if they run into a running quarterback like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson down the road, I don't know. I just am not as convinced of the defense as you are. You make a good argument, like their numbers are fantastic, but what if I gave you the Chiefs defense and the Eagles defense? Who would you have more faith in? I would have to say Chiefs, because we've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, the defense for the Eagles did a great job against Baltimore during the regular season, beat them 24-19.
I have no idea how that happened. I don't know how the Eagles came out of that place with a W. is awesome.
The best individual, I guess, units left, the best offense left, the best defense. I don't know if you have a thought on special teams.
I don't have a thought on special
teams.
Notre
Dame is the best special teams left.
Are there any super kickers left? Let's see. Because nobody can kick anymore. So,
you know, I love a good punt inside the five.
Manny loves punts.
Is Harrison Butker, he's had a down year, right?
Well, he's been hurt.
Yeah. But he's back.
Is the best kicker left? Oh, that's interesting. Gosh, we're not a surface show.
Because, you know, Chris Boswell had the great year, right?
Yeah, everyone can do 30,000 feet. Who's the MVP, Lamar or Josh Allen? Every sports talk radio show in America can do that. Who's asking you who's the best kicker left?
What?
Kicking's
not Tyler Bass.
Big deal this year, right? The Eagles, you saw against the Packers, they wouldn't even try the long field goal. They used to have a star, and now he's not good. I don't know.
Who's got the best kicker left? Is it Kai Fairbairn? Texans?
Is Tucker still the man?
He's had some big misses recently, too.
Well, so everyone's had big misses. Yeah. Justin Tucker's been totally off his game. Jake Elliott hasn't been good. Tyler Bass is an adventure. He'll miss an extra point with the best of them.
Yeah, you say kickers aren't important. You complain about Tyler Bass all the time.
It's like a cottage industry. I do interviews in Buffalo just about the kicking situation on their radio stations.
Hmm.
You guys need help.
I commend them. We let off.
I know.
What about the kicking situation? Big, big question mark.
I mean,
Buffalo, New York, kicking outside. You got to be dead eye.
Coming up next with Howard and Joe.
Something like that.
It's just so funny to me that the guys, like the ultimate stars, Justin Tucker, Butker, Jake Elliott, like these are, they were amazing. And now that you can't even feel confident on anything with them.
What national morning show in America is breaking down the kicking situation?
Nobody.
Oh, I disagree.
EJ, this is your worst nightmare as an executive producer. Like, get off the kicker thing. Back to the quarterbacks.
100% disagree with you guys on that. I bet you Kicking, this is the NFL. Kicking's a huge deal. Like, this is our national obsession. You don't think people are going to be talking about it, about Justin Tucker in 3 days? Oh, we're just early.
It's a Wednesday topic. It's funny. Andrew Brandt, the former Packers executive, always says kickers are like lawyers. It's only when you really need one that you start thinking about it. Something like that.
Let a naysayer know.
Let's go to our pal, Big Friendly. He's in California, gigantic Rams fan. Big Friendly, how are you?
Good morning, Magsy Malone, EJ the EP, 411, Daddy Cool, and my man, Manny Dingo. How you doing this morning? Thank you for taking my call.
Well done. Definitely an upgrade. Let's sit with it for a little bit and see if we like it, or we'll go back to the workshop.
Okay. Now, real quick, the worst Rams coach in my lifetime was the gentleman who got into it with Jim Harbaugh after the Lions-Niner game. Was it Schultz?
Wait, who?
There was a coach for the Detroit Lions that got into
Jim
Harbaugh.
Jim Schwartz.
Jim Schwartz used to be the Rams head coach. Worst ever in the world.
He was the Rams head coach?
Yeah, Schwartz and Spagnuolo were both coaches between Martz and Jeff Fisher.
Get out of here. You might win this because I have no recollection of that at all. No, he wasn't the head coach. Jim Schwartz. Yes.
Didn't he have an aggressive handshake?
Yes.
Didn't he have an aggressive
handshake?
Him and
Harbaugh got into it with the Lions.
No, he was only the head coach of the Lions from 2009 to 2013.
He wasn't the Rams head coach?
No, we'll find you who it was. There's someone else.
Okay, real quick, because I know you guys got to get back to what you're doing.
Sure.
But I wasn't able to call yesterday, and I'm sure you guys talked about
this important kicking conversation going on.
Hey, Joshua Cardi is the best kicker left in the playoffs. Leave it alone.
Might be right.
Real quick, yesterday I'm sure everybody, because I wasn't able to get to your show, but everybody was really down on Sam Darnold. Now, I'm not going to sit here and jump on the man. The man's doing bad. But can we please go back to that fourth down call in the second quarter when I believe it was like just a little under 2 minutes? And is it Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin O'Connell called a fourth down on his side of the field when they were only down by 10. You punt the ball, play defense, get the ball back. So if you ask me, once again, Sam Darnold had a bad day. The Rams defense laid the sledgehammer. Perloff, get ready. We're coming. But coaching, once again, why are you not going for field goals? Why are you not punting the ball? Play another down.
I disagree on that one, Big Friendly. They were down 17-3, right? Or was it only 10 at that point?
They were down 17-3. So if you punt the ball and your defense holds, because if you remember, the last two drives before that, the Rams were three and out. The defense actually was playing with a little bit of something.
Well, then they went for it on the second. When you go for it on fourth down and take a 23-yard sack, that's what really drives me crazy. Just throw the ball down the field, Sam Darnold. I hear you. I don't know. I mean, I think there is an argument to be aggressive in that situation. Because you were down 17-3, but it felt like you were getting blown out.
Well, because right before that was this the fumble touchdown? It was the Jared Verse scoop and score, 57 yards. That's what made it 17-3. So now you got the Vikings down 17-3.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty serious deficit, and you're at midfield. I think you kind of have to go for it on fourth.
Interesting.
Okay, but Daddy Cool, real quick before let me go. I agree with you, Daddy Cool, but it's the second quarter. You're only down by 10. There's under 2 minutes.
Down by 14.
You get the ball back at halftime.
You're down by 14.
It was 17-3. Oh, yeah, 14. My apologies. They were down by 14. You still get the ball back after halftime.
Yeah.
The Dan Campbell rule, everybody just going for it, that's why they're not winning. Thank you for taking my call, and you guys have a great day.
Big Friendly, loving the showdown between your Rams and Perloff's Eagles. We never got a chance to play this yesterday, but I think it's worth it. Not to pour salt in the wound of the Vikings fans, but we had Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, was on our show before the playoff game. Even he was beyond frustrated with Sam Darnold. Here is Paul Allen during the game.
Him, Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. Two receivers left. Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it. Steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a fifth time.
I think this is the one we're talking about. This might have been the fifth sack. Oh, no. I think the fourth and two was the sixth sack of the first half. Apologies.
There's really, like, no holding it too long and on fourth down.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam Darnold, he's not slow by any means. Like, he should have run. I know there weren't a lot of lanes, but he definitely got, I know the scene goes, everyone says he sees ghosts. That was his famous ghost. quote with the Jets. This happens to quarterback where they just can't throw the ball. They can't let it rip. Their brain will say, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. He definitely got whatever that is. That happened to him on Sunday.
Throw it, man. I think guys get obsessed about not wanting to throw interceptions.
Well, it's not. Yes, not like Russell Wilson, who avoids interceptions, so he has the best passer rating in the NFL.
I think in the playoffs, they probably say, listen, number one thing, can't turn the ball over. Meanwhile, they had the sack, fumble, scoop, and score, the Jared Verse thing. But
Darnold was afraid to throw. Why didn't he throw it out of bounds?
He didn't know what was going on. And it's funny, we just asked who's got the best offense left, who's got the best defense left. And defense, none of us said the Rams.
But they're not.
They looked great. That defense looks suffocating. You're saying Sam Darnold had no running lanes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Rams are a good defense, but I don't think that this year they've been like that.
No, not throughout the season, but look how they're playing now. We didn't say who's got the best defense of the year. We just said who's playing the best.
I'm just looking at personnel. I mean, you have Chris Jones is the new Aaron Donald. Like, he's probably. He might not get defensive player of the year every year, but he's right there. Then the Eagles have a little bit of special sauce because they have Jalen Carter. I don't know. Jared Verse is really good, but I think the Eagles are going to run at Jared Verse. Then we'll see how effective he is. Jared Verse, you need to be in passing down so he can stream across the edge. Yeah, the Rams are good, but are they even the next one? I think there's some other really good
defense. Well, the Texans defense looked really good against the Chargers.
Yeah, the Texans have these stars everywhere.
Chargers had a little something to do with that, too.
Well, the Texans defense should be on paper as good as anyone.
So we asked, who's the best offense and defense left? I went with the Ravens for offense and defense, Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. You think it is the Lions are the best offense left.
Yeah, and then the Chiefs, I know, weren't the best during the year. They're close. They had a really good year. But I am not betting, and I think it's coaching, too. I think Steve Spagnuolo, who's got a couple interviews, by the way, I think he's the best defensive coordinator left in a big-time situation. And you know what I'm basing that on? A few Super Bowls, Maggie.
I know. Took him long enough to get another head coaching job, or another head coaching interview. EJ, did we get it right?
I like the Chiefs pick. It pains me because the Chiefs drive me crazy, but they almost remind me of like a playoff like pitcher. Like, I don't care what they did in the regular season, I expect the Chiefs defense to be awesome in the postseason.
And they were good this year.
Right. They weren't even bad. I know they had Bryce Young kind of lit them up a little bit. They had a couple of weird spots, but for the most part,
they fell asleep because they were up so much in that game. That Bryce Young didn't light up anyone. Okay. Sorry.
We get back to our great debate, which we do every Wednesday. Today's debate, who was the most forgettable NFL head coach? No, not memorable, not the good. We're asking for the bad, for the embarrassing. Who was the most forgettable NFL coach of all time? And we also will get to the Packers. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Great debate today. Most forgettable NFL head coach of all time. Maybe you've forgotten them, or maybe you want to forget them. I went with Cam Cameron, former Miami Dolphins coach. Maggie?
I went with Rob Chudzinski, a 4-12, one-and-done year with the Cleveland Browns. EJ's on the phone talking to callers right now. He went with Lou Holtz as the Jets head coach, which is a sentence that doesn't feel like it goes together. Manny?
I picked Joe Judge because I'd like to forget him.
And Bogish picked Freddie Kitchens, who also had a one-and-done year with the Cleveland Browns. The Browns make this list a couple different times. Yeah. Santos is in Arkansas, wants to weigh in. The most forgettable NFL head coach was who?
Wayne Fonts of the Detroit Lions.
Hold on, Santos. Wayne Fonts wasn't a great head coach, but he coached for 9 years. It's too long to forget him.
What happened was, I just think he was very lackluster coach, but, he had no emotion. I mean, he did a great job, and I don't think he got a job after he left Detroit.
No, he definitely did not. Definitely not, Santos. Thank you for the call. How about our own Pete Bellotti weighing in on X?
What's he got?
Love Pete. He said, Nick Saban. See, I think Nick Saban, it's memorable because it directly is the predecessor of his Alabama run.
Like, yeah.
Without the Miami debacle, you never get the Alabama success. He also said Al Groh.
That's the pick. His second pick was good.
Al Groh is a great pick.
The Saban one, I didn't see.
Saban, the funny thing is, Saban is it's a symbol for the ultimate bad personnel decision, taking Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. Culpepper, great, great quarterback, but never even approached healthy. And then Brees got healthy the next year, and Saban's back at Alabama. Changed college football forever that they did not sign Drew Brees.
Man, isn't that the truth? Nadal is our pal in Dallas. Nadal, who is the most forgettable head coach of all time?
Good morning. Good morning. I had to give EJ a hard time a minute ago because he was all over my Chiefs. But so speaking of the Chiefs, I mean, you know, before Mahomes, I went through, what, 34 years of hell. So I'm trying to enjoy it while it lasts.
By the way, before you even say who you're going to say, I can't even think of the Chiefs coaches before Andy Reid. Wasn't Todd Haley
really?
There at some point? I can't remember any of them.
Yeah, you're right, Perloff. Todd Haley was on my list of who to tell you. There's Frank Gans, Gunther Cunningham.
You remember Herm. Yeah. Herm was there.
Herm Edwards had a horrible winning percentage, yep, for, what, three seasons. He got us a playoff berth 1 year, but we were one and done.
I actually forgot Herm was in Kansas City. I remember Herm very well as a Jets, but go ahead.
Yes. So if I had to pick out of all those gentlemen, to put it lightly, I would say Romeo Crennel.
Forgettable.
He had too many roles in the NFL.
Yeah. I guess he could defend him that way, maybe. But I don't know, man. You know, these conspiracy theorists say, you know, former Raiders player, and maybe he sabotaged the Chiefs on purpose. I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Did he infiltrated from the inside just
from
to
the
sabotage?
Inside, Maggie, that's right.
The calls coming from inside the house. Nadal,
calls
what's
coming
the,
from inside the house?
What's
that's
the
right.
vibe in Dallas today? You guys want Deion Sanders, or who do you want to be the next head coach of the Cowboys?
Yeah, I was trying to call yesterday. So I've been talking to people like I do every morning. They're happy McCarthy's gone, but this whole Deion thing, it's a circus. I mean, He's going to light up Jerry's world with the entertainment aspect and the stars, and I don't know if he's going to bring Warren Sapp with him and the whole entourage, but they don't really want that either. I mean, it's just going to be back to square one at that point. They just want to win for one freaking year, you know?
Nadal, I get it. I feel bad
for Dak, but they just need guidance, you know?
Well, Dak's highly paid, but yeah, I get it. Nadal, and thank you so much. Romeo Crennel is funny. Romeo Crennel, his record with Kansas City was 4-15 in 1.5 years. We're asking him the most forgettable NFL head coach of all time, but this is why I started off the show talking about the Deion Sanders to Dallas. I think that it landed with a thud amongst Dallas Cowboy fans. The outside world loves this, too, flashy franchise, flashy Deion, but I don't think the fans want this.
Love it because they want to cover it. I haven't seen anyone say Deion's going to take the Cowboys to the Super Bowl. Like, that's not really been the take.
No, but I can see how it would work, though. Like, I've laid out that he is good at hiring good assistants, and, you know, maybe he gets Jerry's ear because Jerry obviously has to respect Deion from the playing days, and maybe you know, he can motivate guys, leader of men type stuff. I can see it working. I just don't think Cowboy fans want this.
I mean, everybody, if the name was Bill Belichick and not Deion Sanders, then Cowboys fans would be thrilled, right?
Well, there's a little something different between Bill Belichick and Deion Sanders. One has 6 Super Bowl rings and one has 0 as a coach.
I guess that's quite an obvious point by me. But essentially, that's who they want, and I assume Ben Johnson's who the second thing. But this is the Cowboys. I don't think they hire either of these guys. They are the most boring hiring team of all time. They had Jason Garrett for 9 years, and nobody understood what was going on. He was 8-8 for about a decade.
EJ had a good analogy yesterday about the Bill Belichick Dallas Cowboy, because the report from Jordan Schultz was, had Belichick not taken the job, the Cowboys, the North Carolina job, the Cowboys would have been interested, and vice versa. And EJ, you said this is like showing up at your class reunion, and the pretty girl says, oh, I had a crush on you, but you never asked me out.
Yeah, that always happens. It's never, to be honest, it's never happened to me. but I've seen this happen to a lot of folks, and people will say that. And I'm like, why would you ever say that to somebody? Like, why would we learn this?
Yeah, like Belichick, in a different universe.
Yeah.
Oh, what could have been? It's like, well, that doesn't do us any good now.
Yeah, it doesn't do us any good.
Because also, it's a lie. There's no way Jerry Jones is letting a name like Belichick in the house. Right, I mean, that was...
I thought you were like, it's a lie. There's no way the pretty girl is always
when the pretty girl says, yeah, I got it, that's also a lie. But it's the same kind of lie. Like, Jerry was not hiring Bill Belichick because he does not want to share the spotlight with Bill Belichick. Right, he's not changing that much. Maybe a lot
of... he's interested potentially in Deion Sanders? I mean...
Well, Deion's his guy, though. Like, Deion was a player And I still think that's a bit of a problem, too. I think it's more like Kellen Moore or Cliff or somebody who's
Jason Witten is getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, when somebody who's low wattage seems like Jerry's. By the way, do you guys know Gunther Cunningham was just mentioned?
Yeah.
EJ, did you know that that is Gunther, the wrestler's dad? I don't know if you're aware of that.
There's no way that's true. Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's no way that's true. This guy.
I'm like, just to get like, your attention.
No way that's true.
Gunther is not true.
No.
Is he actually from Austria, or is that a fake accent?
No, he's actually from Austria.
Gunther Cunningham is also from Germany, so that could have been true, but that is not true. A long time defensive.
Can you have an American born Gunther? I don't think we do that here.
Yeah, no, I don't think we do. But Gunther Cunningham is not forgettable. I always thought it was cool that there was a coach named Gunther. I thought that was awesome.
It is a cool name. Like, Gunther and Gunner, like yeah. Boomer's son, Gunner is a cool name too.
Right, like nobody knows where he coached or when he coached, but Gunther Cunningham, yeah, it sounds kind of familiar, right?
Like he's one of those guys that was a coordinator for like every NFL team.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think every NFL team had him running their defense at some point.
I could have sold you. I should have stuck with it, huh?
EJ wasn't biting on
You're
that.
You're like, wait, that's not true. Is that true? Gunther.
You were like the kombucha lady for that. The meme of the woman who tries kombucha for the first time and can't tell if she likes it or not. That's an extremely online reference. Bogish is here with some headlines.
Oh, wow.
Guys, we cannot escape Deion and Shador. Last night's Nuggets-Mavs game in Dallas should have been a Sanders-free zone, but Deion was watching, and he tweeted that he wanted the jacket Greg Anthony was wearing on TNT, which led to this, starring Anthony, Ian Eagle, Jared Greenberg, and Shador.
And apparently Jared is now taking your jacket.
I think he's going to give it to Shador to get his dad.
He's giving it to Shador. Shador is very perplexed. Jared is now explaining to him, your dad tweeted that he's going to want that jacket. Jared is saying, take the jacket. Shador said, for real? He said, yes. This is your jacket now. Okay, I got you. Yeah, serious? Yes.
Thank you.
That happened. Yeah, all right. Shador now is looking at it like, seriously, I got to now bring this around?
Poor Shador.
He got to carry a coat now.
He had no idea, and he shouldn't have, what was going on. He was sitting like two seats to the left of Ian and Greg Anthony, and all of a sudden, Jared Greenberg was standing in front of his face with a microphone and a black and white suit jacket.
It's a little like It's got some like Debo from Friday vibes. Like, I'm going to need that jacket. Like, wait, what?
I don't think Deion was threatening Greg Anthony.
No, he wasn't. I actually went to the tweet. It was far from it. He just said, I need that blazer that Greg Anthony has on tonight.
You got knocked the f*** out, man!
And he apparently has it now, or he will have it shortly.
Here comes Jared. Hide your chains. He's just demanding people give away their clothes.
As for the game, Jamal Murray scored 45. The Nuggets won it 118-93. Dallas did get Kyrie back from a five-game injury absence. He only scored 11, hitting just 4 of 18 shots. Trae Young put 43 on the Suns in a 122-117 Hawks win. Phoenix hasn't won in Atlanta since March of 2014. And the Cavs snapped the Pacers' six-game win streak, 127-117 in Indy. The SEC ate some of its own last night. Men's number 4, Alabama, losing at home to number 21, Ole Miss, 74-64. And unranked Mizzou, an 83-82 winner at fifth-ranked Florida. But number 1, Auburn, did handle number 15, Mississippi State, 88-66. Number 7, Marquette, needed overtime to down DePaul, 85-83. Keeping DePaul's last Big East win on March 8th of 2023.
Damn.
They are almost
how much did gas cost then?
They are almost 2 years in between conference wins.
I don't get why DePaul can't be good at basketball.
100% agree.
It's Chicago. Like, there are basketball players literally on any corner.
Yep.
You find somebody that can play basketball. Why are they so terrible?
They can't get the seventh man from Simeon?
Seriously. He could probably start for DePaul tomorrow.
Do they still play at the old Rose Horizon, or do they move somewhere else?
They have a brand new arena that's actually also supposed to be really nice.
On campus.
On campus. They just built this. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I hear you.
And their uniforms are so cool. The colors are cool.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you apply that logic, then why hasn't St. John's won?
Different. St. John's at least has been, air quotes, good. DePaul has been terrible.
That's true.
Like, the worst in the Big East forever.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, why are they, like, St. John's has been, like, not that great, but they've been okay.
Or, like, UCLA should be, like, of the wooden era. Like, we're talking about the hotbeds of where you find basketball players. Los Angeles, Chicago, New York.
But if UCLA was, like, 0-19 in Pac-12 or Big Ten play
for 2 years,
we would say, this is weird. Like, they're not that bad. That's it's true. DePaul. It's Chicago. I don't get it. It's crazy.
I feel like basketball players have moved around a lot, though. I don't feel like these cities are the hotbeds they once were. Maybe I feel like now players are, and they travel a lot. They're all, like, in some school in Florida. You know what I mean?
IMG,
like,
Academy.
Yeah, it just feels like the game has changed. It's not the city game anymore. I'm not sure if that's true. You just pick a kid. Because that kid was already picked off to go to high school in Orlando, like, 3 years before.
I know, but you would think some of these kids want to go back to where they're from, which is what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Or, like, weren't good enough as sophomores to get to IMG, so they're still in Chicago.
Exactly.
On the women's side last night, Iowa State beat Texas Tech 71-58, but did not hit a three-pointer, ending their NCAA record streak, 945 consecutive games with a triple. That dates back to February of 95. So you asked how much a gas cost back. I don't know that, but in February of 95, there was no WNBA, and UConn had won zero national titles.
Wow.
That is the most random record I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Didn't hit a three-pointer. You would hate that type of basketball, Pearl.
You do love threes.
Oh, I love... Yeah.
But you also love Audie Crooks, who's on that team.
That's,
Audie Crooks is awesome.
But I thought you were talking about UConn. This is Iowa State you were talking about?
Yes.
I wasn't listening for the first part of that
story. Thank you. Moving on, the NFL debuts in Berlin this fall. The Colts will be the home team for that game. Today's head coaching interviews include Mike McCarthy with the Bears and Broncos D coordinator Vance Joseph with the Jets. Novak Djokovic surprisingly needed four sets to survive round two of the Aussie Open. That was his record-setting 430th singles match at a major in the Open era. He was level with Roger Federer. And we finish on a high note. The Rangers about to win in Colorado last night, but gave up a goal with less than 90 seconds left, and then overtime didn't go well either.
High in the zone, McKinnon, one-timer takes, he scores! It's a laser from Taser, his second OT winner of the season, and you don't have to go home, but you can stay here, because this party is... Once again, like Lazarus, the Avalanche come back from the dead, down 2-1, but never out.
That guy's really annoying when your team's involved.
Yeah. He's really into it. You got to give him that.
Yeah. I thought he was actually a little down this time. Usually he gives it like the Bruce Buffer. There's a little more growl to it. Last night was a little more matter of fact.
But I think it was his Lazarus reference that led to your Cain and Abel.
Yeah, I was hoping
flip.
We could gloss that.
Colorado won this game 3-2. The Rangers did extend their point streak, though, to 5 whole games.
Grr.
So look out. They're back.
How's that going?
Yeah,
they're so back.
There it is. Thanks, Manny.
Good for you guys.
So they'll lose to the Pistons tomorrow night. Great.
We have a major show update for you. Major show news, network news, in fact. Got a big announcement that will come to you right after this break. Also, we've been saying it, going to get to it. Did not like what I heard from the Packers yesterday. We'll finally get to that story next. Don't move.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Got a big show announcement, big network announcement in just one moment. But first, I want to touch on the Green Bay Packers from yesterday. So doing a postmortem, everyone's cleaning out their locker, and Matt LaFleur, the head coach, is talking about changes that need to happen moving forward for the Packers to get back on top. So here's Matt LaFleur talking about his quarterback, Jordan Love, and how he needs to evolve to become more of a vocal leader.
I think the next step is just to continue to evolve as a vocal leader. I think that just kind of comes with the position naturally. And I think he's taken steps to get there, but I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room respects, they respect him. And they respect him not only as a person, but by the work he puts in.
Okay, here's more from LaFleur saying that Jordan Love could have a greater influence on the locker room than the coaches can.
They all respect him, but I think he can, when things aren't quite right, I think he can voice that as well. You know, when guys aren't quite doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he's one of the guys I kind of talk to about that, you know. Because I just think it means more when it comes from your quarterback than it does from me or one of our other coaches.
Okay, that sounds fine, and that sounds good and makes sense. But there's a part of this, Perloff, and you and I know this because we've covered professional sports for a long time. If you already have the respect and the quarterback already has the respect, forcing him to be someone he's not is the quickest way that he's going to lose respect in the locker room. If you're not a vocal leader, you're not a rah-rah guy, you can't force that because the first people who are going to see through that and see how inauthentic that is are the rest of the guys in the locker room. They're professionals. They don't want eyewash guy, rah-rah guy. It's one thing when it's Jameis Winston. That does not look like an act. Or it's Baker Mayfield. Well, I don't think that's an act.
But those are somewhat irrelevant because those guys, well, Jameis is irrelevant because he's never won. Like, we're talking about, like, taking a team. Like, let's keep it to real quarterbacks.
Well, I'm just saying there are guys.
Prepare for battle.
There are guys who this comes naturally to them.
I know what you mean. Okay,
Jalen Hurts went to the Super Bowl, took your Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl. Nobody thinks he's a rah-rah guy. You can't make him be that, because it's going to look totally phony. And if the dudes in the locker room already respect him by how he prepares, grinds film, approaches his rehab, how he plays in big moments, that's what you need more than him giving some ridiculous pregame speech or telling guys, hey, you better show up on time.
Yeah, I hear you. It makes me wonder, like, what are the quarterbacks that are still alive? Is Mahomes a rah-rah guy? He's so quiet. I mean, he's so, like, normal in press conferences.
No. I think on the sidelines, I think Mahomes is walking around revving people up.
But he's so positive. He's not a hold you accountable guy. Like, Brady's a hold you accountable guy. And is Lamar Jackson a hold you accountable guy? Is Josh Allen a hold you accountable guy? They all seem kind of mellow to me, which is funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't know if you, like, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm passing the buck here, you know? If your quarterback is not that dude who's going to call out guys for loafing it on a practice on a Wednesday, then don't add that to his plate. Now, playing quarterback in the NFL is hard enough, and this is one of the youngest teams in the NFL. If anybody should have the ear of this team, it's the head coach. It's not like you're dealing with a bunch of salty veterans in here. This is literally the youngest team in the NFL.
But then why do we always talk about leadership and quarterbacks then? Like, that is obviously part of the job.
I think it can show itself in different ways, though. I don't think you always need your quarterback to be the most vocal.
No, maybe not the most vocal, but I think he's saying, Jordan, you have to lead more. Like, the way Brady led, the way Mahomes leads. Like, maybe the vocal part isn't right, but he definitely, maybe there's something missing there. I don't totally understand it, but it seems to me like injuries were the only thing that happened to them this year. Especially in that game when Elgton Jenkins went out on the, like, third play or something. Like, okay, what's Jordan Love going to do here? It doesn't strike me as a team. I feel like they're just young. They got hurt this year. They're developing. It didn't seem like a team in crisis. So I think you bring up a great point. Like, why does Matt LaFleur even have to say this?
Yeah, you already said the most important part. The guys in the locker room respect him. That's it.
Right, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, he looked really rattled on Sunday. Matt LaFleur did. Mm. Did you notice there were a lot of things where, like, he's like, I don't understand why you just did that to his teammates. He was very upset throughout the whole game. I thought he looked busy. He was mad at the officials, but he was also mad at his own team.
Well, I thought the turnover in the beginning of the game, I mean, that maybe threw him off his rocker a little bit, because that was egregious.
He kind of looked rattled in all these last big games. Remember the Detroit game? He got into it with the fan.
Yeah.
He looked rattled the rest of that game. I think the Minnesota Viking game on the road, they started out kind of shaky. He was getting on the rest of that game. And I agree, Pearl. I think in Philly, he also he looked out of character to the end of the season.
Yeah, the personal foul that kept that Eagles last drive alive, the last key drive, he was furious. You know, it's funny, Matt LaFleur, he's interesting because he has won a ton. But is he a Super Bowl winning coach? I don't know.
Manny, let's get the drum roll. Very important show announcement and network announcement. We are so proud to announce that Infinity Sports Network is now on SiriusXM channel 375. There we go, guys. 375, let's get it. It's all about the 375 right now on Sirius. We know a lot of you guys listen to us on Sirius. You can listen to us on all of the Infinity Sports Network affiliates on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on YouTube, on Twitch, on X. But most importantly, if you listen to us on SiriusXM, the big news, channel 375.
Nice. We got to figure out ways so everybody can remember that easier. Shorthands. By the way, the area code 375, you know what that is. Turns out it's Belarus. So maybe not that. But maybe that'll... Yeah, if you're calling Belarus, tune in 375. We should figure out some fun ways to remember that later in the week.
Could have given me 1,000 guesses when I got in Belarus. EJ, Manny, Bogush, and Kaplan, thank you.